Good morning, and welcome to Community Conversations. On Community Conversations, we will host a series of pre-recorded interviews lasting about 20 to 30 minutes, some maybe a bit longer, right here at KRFY 88.5 FM. The show will play on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m. This is an interim show. It's not a replacement for the morning show usually held at these hours. On this show, we will bring you topics of current interest as well as ongoing general information, highlighting important voices from our community during this time of COVID concern. I'm Phil Huff, one of your hosts today, and I'm joined by my co-host, Julie Calamine. Today, we will be talking with several people about local recreation options. This is a pre-recorded show about the options available for local outdoor recreation, as well as limitations that are in place due to restrictions and social distancing guidelines. We will all benefit from some time outside, and we need to learn where, when, and how to do this safely. We're using technology for all of the participants in these conversations to be recorded remotely. Please bear with us as any gaps or hiccups occur due to a slow internet connection. Bear in mind that information may change between the time of this recording and the time it is broadcasted, usually 5 to 6 days later. Today, I'd like my co-host Julie to introduce herself and our guests.
Good morning. Well, good morning, Phil, although it's not morning at this moment. And good morning to our guests. I'd like to introduce our first guest, who is Jennifer Stapleton. She is the city administrator for the city of Sandpoint. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. Our second guest is Katie Eglund Cox. Katie is the executive director for the Kiniksu Land Trust. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, Julie. Good morning, Phil.
Yes, and finally, we have Jeff Thompson, the newly hired, relatively new executive director for North Idaho Trails Coalition. Hello, Jeff. We don't have Jeff. Okay, muted Jeff.
Good morning. Yes, I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Perfect. We now have Jeff. Well, Jennifer, we'll start with you. Jennifer, what is and isn't closed and or available in Sandpoint, the city property, facilities, parks, and other places?
Thank you, Julie. Because this is recorded, I want to clarify at the time that we're talking about this. It is April 15th, and we are just shortly after Governor Little has announced his extension of the stay-at-home order through April 30th, and with some changes from the first order that was issued. In light of that, in light of the first order, in light of this this revised updated order, our city offices are closed to the public at this time and will remain so through April 30th. We are continuing to function as a virtual city hall, and so people can call in for services on any of our phone lines, and you will continue to reach staff as you normally would. We have a number of staff who are working from home and they have their phones there. So to you on the other end, it seems like business as usual. You're just talking to someone in their home. We also are able to maintain many of our services online, our building and planning services, all of our permits, licenses, and those kinds of things, the utility bills, utility payments, all of those online services are available through our website at www.sandpointidaho.gov. Or again, call us here at the city if you need assistance navigating any of that. On the parks and recreation front, because that is our focus for this show today, I want to touch a little bit specifically about what we have going on there. All of our parks as of today remain open, and we are hoping to keep our parks open for the duration of this pandemic. Obviously, we'll have to see how things unfold, but we have really made a conscientious effort to try to keep our parks amenities open as long as people can practice appropriate social distancing, so that we are providing that opportunity for people to get outside, get a mental health break from being in their homes. With that said, our kids, our playground equipment is closed. We closed that a few weeks ago, and that remains closed at through today. And we are still keeping things open, like we are one of the few communities in our area that still have our tennis courts open. We're open for pickleball. Our skate park is open. And again, we're asking people to please practice social distancing so that we can continue to keep those facilities open.
All right. And I can attest to the pickleballers being careful because I played a bit this morning.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear you were out there.
Seems like the pickleball court's smaller than the tennis court, but I guess there's enough distance. I know there's signage going up at some of the facilities giving further instructions. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, Phil. We did put up signs last week, last Friday. All of our signs went up. They're at our trailheads. So they're, for example, at Mikinik Trailhead. They're at the Sand Creek Trailhead near City Beach. We have it at all of our entrances to our parks. Again, kind of reminding people of what are the rules so that we can continue to keep our amenities open. So that social distancing, that 6 feet or more, if people are sick, stay home. Just all of the good guidance that we're seeing through the CDC. Also letting people know that as of today, our public restrooms are currently closed. We'll be reassessing that as we move forward and may look at a date to reopen our restrooms again.
All right. Jennifer, are there any online park and rec offerings or suggested resources for our listeners to check out?
In terms of programming, we don't currently have any links to any parks and recreation opportunities online, but we are today looking at what we're doing with our summer parks and recreation programming, and likely we'll look at providing some of those links out there. For example, one of our program offerings that's always popular is our first aid programming, and there's some options online where people can still get first aid training and first aid certification without having to do that in person. So we will be looking at getting those resources out there. But in general, we refer people to our COVID-19 dedicated page on our city website, and that gives you information about what services, city amenities are open, kind of the state of things here at the city, as well as we have a spreadsheet of our businesses in the community that have indicated they're either closed or they are gone to takeout or online services or delivery services at this time, so the public is aware of how to support our businesses in an appropriate way. And again, they really need that local support.
So things are changing so fast, it's hard to predict very far in the future, but have you and Parks and Rec and the council looked farther ahead at summer?
We will be having that discussion actually with the mayor and the city council this evening. So this is kind of a preview, and things could change depending on what the council wants to do. But at this point, our staff recommendation is the cancellation of our parks and recreation formal programming for this summer, just because we're not able to maintain that social distancing. And there's also a gear up period, both in terms of publicity for the community, taking registrations, getting the instructors going and training that we need to do. And we're just really unable to do that at this time. So unfortunately, I suspect as of today that we will be canceling the majority of our summer programming. As possible, we are trying to take things on almost a day-by-day basis. So, you know, some of those activities like movies in the park and things like that, at this point, I don't think we'll go so far as to cancel those activities. We'll just continue to have to monitor the situation and how things evolve and make a decision closer to the date. But our general tennis lessons, softball, those kinds of activities that are typically kicking off actually here in just a couple of weeks, I would say most likely we'll see those canceled.
Understandable. So for this summer, it sounds like quite a bit is on hold, but of course the planning of Parks and Recs doesn't end. What is happening and how is the situation impacting the parks master planning process?
We are still moving forward with our parks and recreation master plan. We were really reaching the finish line of that effort, and we have planned a workshop to take place at our City Council meeting on April 29th, introducing the final draft of the Parks and Recreation Master Plan, as well as the kind of revised final versions of the master plans for each of our parks, which includes City Beach and the downtown waterfront, War Memorial Field, which most people have seen and we're really into design of the second phase of that project. And then the third area being the Traverse Centennial Great Northern Sports Complex. One element that we had included in our master planning process and have gathered some public input and feedback on already was our recreational trails and potentially further recreational amenities up in the city-owned watershed, kind of adjacent next to Schweitzer. That particular aspect of the plan in terms of a master plan for that property is on hold at this time while we are completing an environmental assessment of the watershed. So this does not mean that it will not be moving forward. It's an indefinite hold. It's just waiting for us to complete that environmental assessment, and I think you'll see us picking that up again in a couple of months. And we may be going a different route in terms of master planning with a different consulting group that has more direct experience working specifically in watersheds and protected areas such as we have there. Green Place certainly been a great consultant for us, but they've done more work with more of the traditional park settings, trails, and open spaces, not quite as much on kind of the unique area that we have here that is both a source of our drinking water and also maybe a great opportunity for expanded recreational amenities.
Well, Jennifer, there's so much going on. Appreciate the time you took to spend with us today to help better inform the public of all the stuff that's happening now and plans for the future. Before we turn to the other guests, any closing thoughts on the status of the city's parks recreation for the public?
I would just encourage members of the public, if as we're all living in this pandemic, and if there are concerns about our parks or questions about what's happening in the parks, what's open, what's closed, feel free to give us a call. Again, here at City Parks, somebody will be answering our parks line. We're still keeping regular hours here at City Hall. We have our Engage Sandpoint mobile app where people can also report concerns or ask questions or provide just general feedback. And finally, remember to practice social distancing so we can keep those amenities open for all of you. And even if there's concerns again with you're seeing out-of-state usage, we've had some challenges with that, and I think that may continue to be a challenge for us moving forward in the summer, being a resort community, and we're just going to have to continue to figure out how we're going to maintain the right balance for our community.
Well, Jennifer Stapleton, a city administrator of the City of Sandpoint, we want to thank you for joining us this morning and offering great information and for taking care of the parks and rec so that they can stay open as much as possible during this time. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. We're going to move on to Katie Eglin Cox. Katie, we've mentioned, is the executive director for Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust, which does many, many things. But today, Katie, we're going to ask you about what's happening at the Pine Street Woods.
Thank you, Julie. Pine Street Woods has definitely become a place of health and renewal during this time of crisis for our community, and it's been wonderful to be out there and see everybody walking, running, biking, generally just spending time in nature. And when we're all stuck in our house, it's a beautiful place to be, just take a breath. I would also like to add that you probably, if you've been up there, you've witnessed that we had and you probably remember that big windstorm we had in March. That did some significant damage to the Manning buffer and parts of Pine Street Woods. So if you're up there, you'll see that we've rerouted a trail, that the Syringa Trail that goes through the Manning buffer has been rerouted through Pine Street Woods up along the Butterfly Trail to get you back to the signboard that everybody's familiar with in Sherwood Forest. There is logging operations going on now. We had probably, they estimate, around 4 to 6 truckloads of trees that came down in that windstorm. So it was really devastating for parts of Pine Street Woods. And so just be cautious about that. Be safe. Steer clear of the logging. As well, there, because it's spring, we know with spring comes muddy trails. So there have been some trail closures up there that you will see. And we have rerouted some trails so that we can make sure that those muddy spots and wet spots can dry out and then be reopened again. And we would just say that, remember when you're up there that it's important to keep our Pine Street Woods open. We want to make sure that everybody, just as Jennifer was saying, everybody just adheres to those CDC guidelines of 6-foot distance and being home if you're sick. And people have really been, they've really been paying attention and have been kind and courteous on the trail. And so stepping off 6 feet, allowing people to pass. It's a nice spot to go. It's a nice spot to see others, but from a distance. So
any special recommendations for access, for parking, recommendations for best practices there?
So the one thing that we have seen is that we have seen that a lot of people are parking at the Lower Greta Segway. And there, the parking lot is quite small. And so people are not able to really maintain a good social distance at that parking lot. So we would really encourage people to make their way up to the top of Pine Street Woods to the parking lot. We have enough spots for 30 to 35 cars up there. So it's much easier to maintain social distance from the parking lot at Pine Street Woods. So we would encourage you to go up to the top and start your trail adventure from there.
I know during this time, Kinnexu Land Trust also has available for those rainy days some online resources for folks. Why don't you tell us a little bit about those?
This is one of the most exciting parts, I think, that Kinnexu Land Trust has taken on. As many of you know, Kinnexu Land Trust provides a really robust outdoor education program all year long. And during the school year, our education director, Dave Kretschmar, is often in the schools working directly with the classes and with the students. And because all of our students are home, we still wanted to reach them. We still wanted to, especially now, we wanted to provide resources for their parents as children are place bound and probably really wanting to get outside. So the whole team has put a lot of focus and attention and time into shifting quite quickly to remote learning. And if you go on to Kinnexu Land Trust website, you'll see a banner at the top that will direct you to sort of our COVID-19 resources. And the remote learning tab is one of those. And so you can find programs for your children at home on bowl burning, on birch bark weaving. Dave is also, we've just did the first installation of a storytelling series that he's doing from, we call it, From the Gypsy Wagon, which is a wagon that he is building at home. So it provides the students the ability to look at Dave's gypsy wagon, see what he's constructing, and watch it come to life as they follow along in these stories. We have also just begun. We have lots of ideas. We have lots of things going on, but we just started trying to release some adult education as well. And that was with the help of Jeff with North Idaho Trails Coalition, and Dave got together to do a video on primitive bridge building. It was a perfect opportunity because we had a really muddy spot on the trail at Pine Street Woods. And so we videoed the bridge. It will be released tomorrow. But if you have an opportunity to build a bridge at home, this would be a great video to go and watch and learn how to build your own bridge. So, and we have many more things coming, much more in the pipeline in terms of experiences that we are trying to provide via remote ways.
It sounds like a lot of fun, learning how to build a bridge. You're going to turn them all into beavers or something.
Exactly.
Tell us about summer programming. Educational programming is so important to what Kinnexu Land Trust does. Thinking ahead, how does the summer look?
Well, as Jennifer said, time will tell. We have opened up registration for Camp Kinnexu. Camp Kinnexu provides a camp experience for over 150 children in our region, and it is a beloved program. We will hope that it will still happen. It starts mid-June, but we will also be adhering to CDC guidelines and really paying close attention and seeing what can and cannot happen. So for now, you can go online and register for Camp Kinnexu. If we by chance cannot have the program or we cannot figure out a way to do it within the guidelines, then you will be refunded. But right now, our fingers are crossed that there is a way, a creative way, that we can still have this program.
Boy, I sure hope so. Phil and I interviewed Dave and a number of summer camp hosts and leaders last summer, and your camping experience was full. It was sold out even before we did the interview. So I know it's a popular one. I hope it can take place in some form.
Yes.
Me too, Julie.
We all hope that can continue, and I'm sure that you'll find a creative way to fulfill the mission and hopefully the dream of that summer camp. But before we turn to Jeff, anything else you'd like to tell us about what's happening at the Kinnexu Land Trust right now?
Well, the other thing that we are looking forward to launching here in honor of Earth Day next week is a program we're calling Solo Govo. And it's a solo volunteering program up at Pine Street Woods. And so be on the lookout for that. We do a lot of postings on Instagram and Facebook, but what we have found is that people are sort of itching to participate and do something with their hands. People want to keep their hands busy right now. So we're coming up with a lot of different ways that people can volunteer at Pine Street Woods by themselves. So one of the things we'll be doing is asking for volunteers to go and pull invasive rose bushes out of the Camp Kinnexu area, because the kids found that, as you can imagine, most of those kids in camp do like to run around barefoot. And it is a great experience until you step on one of those invasive roses. So we will launch this program with good guidance and tutorials on how to do a solo volunteer experience next week. But I would also just add that we would also encourage you that Pine Street Woods is not the only place, especially depending on where you live. Really try to find some place to be outside and experience nature that's close to your home. That could be Gold Hill, it could be Mikinic, or if you live in the Clark Fork, Knoxon area, Kinnexu Land Trust has another public access property you might not know about called the Cabinet View Nature Area on River Road. And it's a beautiful spot with a trail, a pond, and lots of birding opportunities. So wherever you are, just stick close to home. There are so many options and opportunities here to get outside and enjoy nature. And do it every day, because to keep our sanity, I think that's important.
That's a great message. And I want to second the idea that for Earth Day in 1970, the original call to action was a very individual one. And I grew up, my dad took me out with that ethic. And on Earth Day, we would pick up garbage. And anyone going out onto their favorite trail or favorite place can take a trash bag and leave it a little bit better than they found it any time of year, but especially important next week as we celebrate Earth Day.
Exactly.
Yes. Well, here, I agree with all of those sentiments. And Katie Eglin-Cox, thank you, Executive Director of Kinixu Land Trust. Thank you for joining us and updating us on Pine Street Woods and offering suggestions for other ways to get outside now, Earth Day, and through the summer. Thank you.
Thanks, Julie.
And thank you. You're welcome. Very welcome. So moving on to our third guest today, and that is a patient, Jeff Thompson. Jeff, you're the new Executive Director for North Idaho Trails Coalition. Jeff, tell us about the North Idaho Trail Coalition and a little bit about your new job.
All right, sounds good, Julie. Well, this is an exciting time to be involved with trails around here. I think anybody who recreates and gets out there and kind of is in the in knows that there's a lot going on. There's a lot of opportunity. And the North Idaho Trails Coalition has sort of been brainchild of a lot of different groups. You know, this thought has been out there for, you know, probably close to a decade on how can we kind of combine our resources and work together. And so it's finally come to be. You know, the North Idaho Trails Coalition is here. We're at northidahotrails.org. If you go to our site now, I think it's just a page, and it basically redirects you to three of our primary groups pages right now, but we're there and you're going to see more done with that site. But we exist primarily to represent three different groups: the Pendere Peddlers, the Sandpoint Nordic Club, and the Kinixu Land Trust. And each of those three groups have different interests in what NITSE brings to the table. But, you know, primarily what NITSE, you know, what we're going through a visioning process now. We're trying to figure out exactly who we are and what we are and our path forward. And something that kind of keeps ringing in my head that kind of, when you boil it all down, is more trails and better trails. You know, more trails for more people. You know, we're really looking at opportunities, you know, locally to expand trail networks. We're looking for opportunities of connectivity. How can we get people from hard surfaces downtown to soft trails outside of town? How can we get people from their houses to the grocery store? You know, how can we get people safely from point A to point B, kids to school? So we're trying to look at it through a wide lens of opportunities. I think standards and experience, standards and kind of combining experience and goals is going to be one of our missions. You know, where can we combine the missions of two different groups to meet two different needs? And then, of course, maintenance. You know, we have an existing trail network that's out there that's awesome. And so part of what we're going to do is try to take care of those trails.
So, Jeff, you've brought up a great point, is that there are trails close to home for all of us. And reflecting on some of the suggestions that Katie and Jennifer have made, what are some of those gems that you might recommend that we haven't heard yet from today, where people might be able to go and find themselves recreating out of doors safely right now?
Well, Phil, that's a great point. And, you know, NITSE is actually, hopefully in the future, going to be a home for that exactly. You know, we want NITSE to kind of be a place where you can go, and it's going to have a communication piece where you can go and say, hey, I want to go hike on an easy trail. Where can I find that? And that's one of our goals. Right now, I'm a little bit leery to point you to some of the sweet spots, because some of them may be open and some of them may not be open. But I can point you to Pine Street Woods. And, you know, I think Katie brought up a great point that Pine Street Woods has been showing. I've spent a ton of time up there recently, and it shows us how important these suburban park-like forests are to our community. I mean, it's amazing how popular it is up there. How many of our people are using it? We need more of that. And so we're exploring opportunities like that. But I can tell you, Phil, that there are a lot of places out there that are being underutilized where you can maximize that 6 foot spacing.
And you did bring up a good topic. Things are fast changing, and it's important to know before you go. And so even as this is broadcast in 6 days' time, things could have changed. So it's best always to check with the local land management organization or agency as to access or any restrictions. And I think most folks should know where they're going, whether it's the Idaho Panhandle National Forest, the state of Idaho, private land, or a community area like the Pine Street Woods or the city, and check with the appropriate folks.
And I'll just chime in and mention that Jeff is really right about that, because I was about to recommend folks run out to Round Lake State Park, and then I remembered that I was out there yesterday, and half the park was closed because they're cutting up all the trees that were damaged by the windstorm. So one really does have to check before you run out and start hiking.
So Jeff, quite often we would go into some stuff about the new kid on the block, which in a sense you are, but you've been in the community for a while. You come with an impressive set of credentials for your new job. Tell our listeners a little bit about your background and what you bring to bear with the new position.
Absolutely, Phil. Well, I think a lot of the listeners probably know me from the avalanche world. I've been a forecaster and the executive director of Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center for the last 4 years. So that's probably where you know me. But before I got here to North Idaho 4 years ago, I spent a lot of time with trails. I worked for the U.S. Forest Service for about 15 years, trails and wilderness. And then I also have owned my own trail building company, a couple of them. And then I've also been a private consultant and worked on trails everywhere from the top of Mount Elbert at 14,400 feet to building trails for dirt bikes in Hawaii, and everywhere in between. And I love what we're doing right now. It is a different niche for me. I have been involved with trails around here for a while in one capacity or another. And I sort of see this opportunity as just a continuation of that. You know, we really kind of gave me and gave NHTSE the opportunity to kind of run with this. And really, you know, it's an open book right now, but you know, I think we have a lot of momentum and we have a lot of exciting things on the horizon. And so I'm really excited to see where it takes me. You know, I've never really worked trails in this kind of capacity. It's been so much fun trying to keep up with what we're doing at Pine Street Woods, and there's more to come this summer. But yeah, we're excited to get going and approach trails from this different perspective.
And Jeff, something you touched on just for a moment at the beginning of the interview with you was about understanding standards. And if I'm understanding what you mean by that, it's seeing that trails can accommodate multiple types of users. That would be so interesting to hear a little more about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, part of my background is dealing with standards, with trail standards and quality and understanding what that looks like and how that happens. And I think for us around here, it's twofold. You know, you want to make the landowner happy, you know, whatever their goals are, whether it's the Forest Service or a private entity. But then also it's who are we making this trail for? And if we're going to do it, let's do it right and make it really good. And let's do the details all the way out so that we can not just make a trail, but make an awesome trail. And I think, you know, you look at the butterfly loop up at Pine Street Woods. I think that's a great example of, sure, there were places at Pine Street Woods where you could ride as a beginner on a mountain bike. But look at the butterfly loop and what we've done with that and the opportunities that we've given there. That's sort of what we're getting at, is we want to make sure that we're putting down quality trails that are protecting the resource, but also giving folks the experience that they're looking for.
You certainly come in at a very interesting time for both ongoing operations as well as planning, and the future always looks brighter. And it's nice to know that NHTSE will be there to help plan out opportunities for our area in the future. I think one of the things that's happening right now is people are coming to a real appreciation and understanding for the resources we have for out of doors. And we're going to go to kind of a final closing thoughts from each of you, and I'd like you to include in those closing thoughts where to go for more information as we've talked today. And Jeff, as long as you've got the floor, let's start with you.
Sure. Well, thanks, Bill. You know, I think this sort of thing is huge for us. Right now, as NHTSE, we want everybody to know who NHTSE is, and we want them to know why we're here and what we're doing. So thanks for having us on. This is very helpful. like I said earlier, NorthIdahoTrails.org is going to be the spot that you're going to go to find out more about us. That's a work in progress. So if you go there, it will reroute you to one of our three groups. The Kinnexu Land Trust is, I think, where it takes you right now. And so obviously great information there. I guess my public service message would be, you know, even though we are dealing with what we're dealing with now and some restrictions and life's a little bit crazy, do remember that, you know, there are still springtime conditions out there and that needs to play into it. There are places that are open, there are places that are closed, but just because places are open doesn't mean that it's appropriate to go there. So if you do get out of your vehicle and you see that it's soggy and you're kind of maybe doing some trail damage or have to walk around a trail and create new routes, you know, maybe just rethink where you're going and protect our trails.
Jennifer, since we started with you, we'll go next with you.
I think, again, thank you for the opportunity, Phil and Julie. Things are playing out on a day-by-day basis. So again, I encourage people to follow us on our city website or look on our Facebook page. We try to get announcements there about changes, and we're doing everything, again, possible to try in a safe way to keep recreation amenities that the city has open to the public and to the community for their use as we all try to navigate this pandemic together and try to keep a balance in our safety and our mental health by getting outside and enjoying our beautiful outdoors here in Bonner County and around Sandpoint. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. And Katie, you've got the final thought. Actually, Julie will have the final thought, but...
Well, I would just say that I think today's the guests here show what Sandpoint is doing and this region is doing best, and that is in partnering and working together for the benefit of all of our citizens. So I look forward to the work that we have in the future with the city, with NHTSA. I think it's really inspiring to see how, when you get everybody at the table together, what we can accomplish. We all know that this area is a spectacular place to live, and there are so many wonderful volunteers, organizations working just to improve it on a daily basis. I would encourage you all to go up to Pine Street Woods, spend time up there. Remember, though, it is a donor-supported park, so it's important that if you love it, we take care of it and we support it. There, we now have a trailside donation station in, as well as ways, obviously, on our website at www.kinnexu.org to give to Pine Street Woods or to Kinnexu Land Trust. Yeah, just get outside. Like I said before, I think during this time of stay home order that the more we can spend time outside, even if it's just a 15-minute walk in the middle of the day, anything helps us all. So thank you for having us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Katie Eglin-Cox. Thank you, Jeff Thompson of the North Idaho Trails. And thank you, Jennifer Stapleton. And Phil, I really wouldn't be able to add anything to those final statements. They were perfect. So I will wrap up for the program today. And that does wrap up our community conversation with Jennifer, Katie, and Jeff. And I'm thanking you for joining us today. Listeners, I would ask that you would join us for more recorded interviews as part of our community conversations program at 8 a.m. on Tuesdays and also 8 a.m. on Thursdays here at KRFY 88.5 FM. And you can always live stream at krfy.org. So go ahead and get out there.
Thank you all.